The book of Ephesians and chapter 6. I find it strange that when you look at some commentaries and sermons by some preachers, they finish their comments on this book at verse 20. Some don't bother to go on and deal with these remaining verses. I feel they must have forgotten what Paul wrote to the pastor at the church at Ephesus, Timothy. You remember in 2 Timothy 3:16, he said, all scripture is given by inspiration and is profitable. In fact, it's profitable that the man of God or the woman of God would be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And if we are going to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ, this description of Tychicus is important for us to look at and to learn lessons from it that we can apply to our life. It will help us to be greater soldiers. Now, this description of Tychicus given to us in these two verses, verse 21 and 22, they teach us the obvious lesson that wars are not won by generals alone. Generals need soldiers. They don't fight the battle on their own. And privates and corporals and sergeants win gallantry medals, Victoria Crosses and so on. That every soldier is vital in an army. Who was this man? Well, from Acts chapter 20, where we read of him first, he was from what was known as the province of Asia, around that Turkey area, we call it today. That's where he joined Paul in his third missionary journey. So it's quite possible he knew people in Ephesus and was known by the congregation in Ephesus, because that was in that part of what was known as the province of Asia. Now, we do know he was a faithful soldier. For a time, he was a missionary with Paul, traveled with him on his missionary journey. We know he was a messenger. We know he was a messenger because we read here in verse 22, whom I have sent unto you, who have sent unto you. In other words, here in the book of Colossians, we learn that Tychicus was a mailman. He was a postman. You see, in a battle, armies and military need good communications. A general needs to send the orders to the various outposts. And Paul is in prison in Rome, but he has a message for a Christian outpost who are seeking to fight for the Lord in the city of Ephesus, over 1,000 miles away. Now, Tychicus carried that important letter. Remember, the book of Ephesians is a letter to a church. It's post, it's mail. You say, well, interesting. Ah, but you get out a map and look at it. It was no easy task. He had to walk for many, many miles on foot across Italy. And then he had to cross the Adriatic Sea in a boat, and wasn't great boats in those days. And then he had to walk hundreds of more miles. He didn't do it in a day. It took weeks, months. It took hard labor walking for that long journey to deliver the post. Stephen Portavogie doesn't seem so far away now, does it? And you don't walk, you use a van. But this postman was faithful. He delivered the communiques from the general, if you like, to the soldiers standing for the Lord. But he did other things. If we turn to the book of Titus, you could find that Paul sent this man to help Titus pastor the congregations in the island of Crete. Didn't send him there on a holiday. Some of you may have been in Crete, I haven't. But he sent him to labor in the congregation there. And then we find that he's with Paul in his final imprisonment. Everybody else forsook except Luke and Tychicus. But then Paul says, Tychicus, I want to send you away to Ephesus. Take over the pastorate in Ephesus. You be the minister there while my beloved Timothy comes to visit me. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful servant. A great example of a faithful soldier. He started off with more, you could say, minor tasks, although I'm not saying it's not important to carry the letter. But then he ended up getting more opportunities, and that's the way it works in the military. The raw recruit starts off getting tasks to do, and then as he gets on, he gets greater tasks and responsibilities. There's another obvious lesson here. You may not have heard of this man, Tychicus, although he's mentioned five times in the New Testament. There are other men and women who labored alongside the Apostle Paul, and we don't know their names. Paul, to the letter to the church at Philippi, wrote of those faithful women who labored with me in the gospel. We don't know their names. Don't know that we know Euodias and Syntyche, but don't know the other names. But isn't it wonderful? Wonderful that God knows the names. God, we all know Paul's name, but here are servants of God that we don't know. Some people in God's work, their service is visible. We know of great generals. I love military history. The student Trafalgar Square looked up and saw Nelson way up there. Navy, of course. You think of Wellington. We're in London a couple of days there. And you see various statues of famous military generals. We know their names, but they don't know the names of the men who fought with them. But you know the great thing about God's service is God knows the names of all his soldiers. And God will reward. That's a wonderful truth. That's a comforting truth. God keeps the records. God keeps the records. I love the life of C.H. Spurgeon. I had the 63 volumes of a sermon. Some were published after his death. Over about 50-some sermons in each of what he preached. 3,500 sermons published. Amazing. There's more sermons and so on published by Spurgeon, preacher in the 1800s. I have about 14 biographies about him and his own autobiography. I love reading about Spurgeon. What a man. But I love this in his autobiography. When he went to the church where he pastored, there was a deacon, Joseph Passmore. And he, along with his friend, a Mr. Alabaster, they owned a printing firm. And they printed Spurgeon's weekly sermons. Thousands of them. Penny Pulpit, it was called. They published his books. I have some of those books, Passmore and Alabaster. But Joseph became a great friend of Spurgeon. And in fact, later on, when Spurgeon became ill in the latter years of his life, died at 57, the doctor ordered him to go to the south of France for his health in the depth of winter. And often he wanted Joseph Passmore to come with him, to be a close friend. And you know what Spurgeon wrote about him in his autobiography? He said he thanked God for Joseph Passmore. This is what he said. I love this. He's one of those men who are more useful than prominent, more felt than seen. You think about that. Isn't that tremendous? Joseph Passmore and Tychicus were like those people who are more useful than prominent. They're more felt than seen. In other words, they're not in the public limelight. But Spurgeon was acknowledging they're so important. They're vital. They're vital. And that's true in the work of God. And I thank God, as I thought these weeks we'll finish the book of Ephesians, Lord willing, I can thank God this morning for so many in this congregation who have been like Tychicus. Oh, you may not have been prominent in the sense of standing publicly before others, but you've been more useful than prominent. Your influence has been felt, maybe not publicly seen. And my wife and I do thank you before God for that. Three aspects of the life of Tychicus. They're very clear here. I want you to notice, first of all, he's a beloved brother. A beloved brother. Do you see that, what he calls him in verse 21? A beloved brother. And then I noticed this in the text. In the Lord. In the Lord. I mark my Bible. Some people do, some don't. But it's good whether you literally mark it or not. I certainly put a little mark at this verse. Under that, in the Lord. In the Lord. It's a key. You see, this was more than an ordinary friendship. It's good to have friends. I have some friends. I love them, but they're not saved. But they're friendly. Count them friends. Oh, but there's a special bond with those who are in the Lord. There's no fellowship like fellowship with God's people. There are no people like the people of God. And Paul is saying, oh, he's a brother. Do you know, Tychicus, we believe, was a Gentile. Paul was a Jew. The Jews have no dealings with the Gentiles, we know. The Jews hated the Gentiles, counted them as dogs. They wouldn't even eat a piece of bread or food that had been prepared by a Gentile. Now, that's how much the animosity. Paul says, he's my beloved brother. Why is that? Because you read the earlier chapters of Ephesians and chapter 2, all of us, Jew and Gentile, we were once dead in trespasses and sins. We were alienated from God. We were strangers to God. We were without Christ, without God, without hope. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've been brought nigh. We've been reconciled to God and to one another. See, it's the blood of Christ, the same Holy Spirit indwelling each believer. That's why there was this brotherhood, this sisterhood. And Paul said, the man Tychicus, when I think about him, he's my brother. And not only that, he's beloved. He's beloved. I love him in the Lord. I prize him so highly, his friendship, his brotherhood, his support, the fellowship we have with one another. He's beloved. Isn't that wonderful? See, he's beloved of the Lord, of course, beloved by the saints, but Tychicus was beloved by the Apostle Paul. In one of the military bases some years ago, there was a young soldier. After he joined, met some Christians and was witnessed to and became a believer. He started to go to a faithful church in the town, but he was very uncomfortable. Because sometimes when he went to the services, sitting very near to him was his major. And he just felt, I'm sitting here with him. And he said it to one of the elders one day. I've come to the Lord and I love the Lord and I'd love to come to this church, but I just feel so uncomfortable sitting near the major. Well, the major was well respected and known, and the elder went to the major. So the major, after the service, one of the services, called the private over and he said, brother, when we're in this church together, there are no titles. I'm not your commanding officer here. We're brothers in the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? We're all in Christ. Thank God for the unity of the Spirit. A beloved brother. Oh, do you know your beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord? Thank God for brothers and sisters in Newton Ards. See, there's so much I'd love to say on the 31st and they can't. But sincerely, we thank God for dearly beloved brothers and sisters here in Grace. Like Paul, we can say that. Not that I'm equating myself with Paul, but in the same way he could say it. brother beloved. And then the second word, or second title I thought here was, he was a dependable deacon. Now maybe you're searching your verse, where does it say that? Well, look at verse 21. A faithful minister. See that word minister? That is the term from which we get a deacon. Now, there is the office of a deacon. We refer to it as committee man, same thing. But it's the word deacon. Now, it's not speaking about an office. But the word deacon actually means to serve. Now, there are various words translated serve in our New Testament, servant. One is doulos, means a slave. There's another word that means an under rower on the ship. You remember slaves? But the word here is the word for deacon, or somebody who waits on tables. In other words, the connotation of the word servant here is somebody who serves other people. That's why that office was called deacon in Acts 6. They waited on the tables. They served the widows and the needy. So the idea is, Paul is saying, this man is somebody that I know will serve other believers, put their interests before his own. He's a real deacon. Deacon type service. And not only that, he's faithful. In other words, he's dependable. And do you know what the greatest ability is as a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Dependability. Dependability. You see, Tychicus was the type of man, if Paul said, Tychicus, I would like you to do this, he knew he would do it. And he would do it properly. Paul could rely upon him. He was a dependable deacon, a dependable person. And he served in wonderful ways. He served Paul when he was in prison. Prison in those days was slightly different, even right up to the times of John Bunyan. Family members could bring in food and clothing and so on. Quite possibly Tychicus stayed there in Rome near him in prison and would have brought Paul things to meet his physical needs. And that's important. We're body, soul, and spirit. We often need others to help us on our physical needs. Financial needs. I've no doubt he met with Paul for his spiritual needs. I can see them both praying together. Can you not see Tychicus visiting the prison cell and praying with Paul? Oh, he was a servant. And then when Paul says, Tychicus, I want you to drop everything and just go 1,000 miles and deliver this letter for me. He did. Now, can you imagine for a moment if Tychicus wasn't a dependable deacon, a good servant? What? Me walk those hundreds of miles? No, thank you. Have you any other job to do? Well, no soldier could say that in the army, could they? It's too dangerous. Or if he got halfway and he saw this prospect of a better job with a good salary, oh, I'll not bother delivering the letter. I'll just leave this letter to the Ephesian church and the Colossian church. I'll just leave it somewhere. Reminds me when we lived in a certain place, didn't happen in Newton Ards, there was a man lived a few streets away and his son joined the postal service. I don't know if this happens much, but he got caught. They wondered why he's delivering the letters so quick. They found out he was dumping them not too far from the back of our house in a little wood. Of course, he was got the sack, get into trouble. He just didn't want to walk around the door. So when he had a bunch of mail, he just into the wood. Well, he soon lost his job, didn't he? Soon lost his job. Aren't you glad Tychicus was faithful? Because humanly speaking, if he wasn't, you wouldn't have the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians in your Bible. You can thank Tychicus for that, because he carried the letter. What a faithful man. What a faithful man. Serving the Lord. So many. The opposite of faithfulness is fickle. There's so many serve themselves, serve pleasure, serve Satan, as a man that served the Lord. Remember the little phrase I said, in the Lord. in the Lord. Yes, Tychicus was serving Paul and serving the believers, but he was doing it in the Lord and for the Lord. And listen, like the Lord. Because you know who the greatest example of a servant is? Tychicus, Paul, Christ. Because Christ is the creator of the world, and he left heaven and he came down to this earth and he went all the way to the cross, even the death of the cross. And there on Calvary, he took the guilt of our sin there to the tree, and he suffered his people's hell. Why? To serve you. To save you. To provide eternal life. What a servant is the Lord Jesus Christ. Tychicus was Christ-like. He was a beloved brother. He was a dependable deacon. But there's one more here in verse 22. He was a capable comforter. A capable comforter. Look at the last words. I'm sending him that he might comfort your hearts. You see, Paul knew Tychicus. And Paul was in prison. And he's thinking about those believers 1,000+ miles away. And it's as if he's saying, oh, I wish I could be there with you to comfort you. Maybe he's got news that some have been bereaved. Some have had tragedies. Some have had heartaches. He's saying, oh, I wish I was there with you, but I can't. But I'm going to send Tychicus because he'll comfort you. He'll comfort you. That word comfort's tremendous. It's the word paraclete. It's used of God, the Holy Spirit, the comforter. Nowadays, they talk about the paramedic. You know, the paramedic. A paramedic is a man or a woman who goes to the accident. They come to where the injured person is. A paramedic. Someone is in trouble in their home, you call the ambulance. A paramedic comes. What does para mean? Alongside. They come alongside. That's what the Greek word made up of comfort is. Tychicus, he'll come alongside you. He'll be right there with you. The Holy Spirit, of course, does that. But thank God for believers who can get alongside somebody when they're in need, and they need encouragement and comfort. Speaking to someone just recently about a great preacher, G. Campbell Morgan. He was the predecessor and for a while associate with Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. At the end of his long ministry, he was asked, if you had your whole ministry to do over again. Of course, I'm beginning to think of those things. If you had it to do over again, what would you do differently? He thought, and he said, well, I wouldn't preach a different message. I would preach the same gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then he stopped. Now, he's a great preacher, wonderfully used. He said, I would spend more time seeking to bring comfort. I would spend more time seeking to bring comfort. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And then as I read that verse, I thought back, and I know I've mentioned this before, as a teenager going to the late Willie Mullins Bible class on a Tuesday night, and some of you went. Some of you are as old as me and older. You were there. And he used to give the announcements before he preached for an hour. It was usually at least an hour he preached on the Tuesday night. And he would take off his glasses, remember the prayer meeting on Thursday, remember the Lord, and he always used to take off his glasses. And I should try that. It might have been, but anyway. He said, Sunday night we're the gospel meeting. I need people to row the lifeboat as I have the privilege of holding the searchlight. And then he'd say, Lord's Day morning, would you pray for me that I'll have a word for the Lord? And he quoted from 1 Corinthians 14, a word to edify, to exhort, and to comfort. He said, because there'll be the wee widow there, the wee widow woman with a young family, and she's struggling to make ends meet, to clothe and feed her children. And she needs a word of comfort from the Lord. Pray for me, I'll be able to deliver and preach a word of comfort. Some of you never heard of Willie Mullen, wonder why we love his memory so much. People need comfort. Tychicus was a man who comforted others. He could get next to them, comfort them. You see, Paul couldn't literally go and put his hands around somebody and tell them that he loved them and the Lord loved them. But he knew Tychicus would put his arm around them. And sometimes that is the first stage of comfort. Maybe in bereavement, not to go and give a theological lecture on the biblical teaching of death, though that is important, of course, we need to know that, but simply to be there. I'm thinking of you. I'm praying for you. We stayed for two nights near Hyde Park. We had to wait for the plane. So we walked through Hyde Park. Some of you done it. Kensington there, the Princess Diana Memorial, and then on down Kensington Palace. We didn't have time to go in and see around it. But I wanted to go there, walk to that end of the park to see a statue. And outside it, there's a massive statue of Queen Victoria in her younger days, although I was looking for a statue at the left-hand side of a man called King William. But anyway, my wife took a photograph of me talking to two American visitors, and she says to the family, Dad lecturing on King William to two Americans. But anyway, massive statue of Queen Victoria outside Kensington Palace. That's where many of the royals live, of course. And every time I see a statue like that, I think of the lovely story of Queen Victoria after Albert had died, and she was in mourning for many years, wore the black, the widow weeds, as they were called. Weeds, of course, an old English word meaning garment. Have you ever heard of widow's weeds? Not talking about weeds in a garden. It's the old word for garments. And there was a tragedy in one of her estates where a workman was killed and the royal carriage pulled up outside the cottage, and the queen got out and went into the cottage, and afterwards the neighbour said to the widow, what did Her Majesty say to you? She never spoke. She just sat down beside me and we both wept. See, the Bible says, Christian, we're to weep with those that weep. Tychicus was a man who could weep. But I think he went further. Oftentimes that's so important to bring comfort, just the arm, the hand upon the shoulder, the shaking of a hand. But Tychicus could go further. Now, if your Bible doesn't have this, don't worry, it's not part of the inspired scripture, but you may have at the end of verse 24, do you see a little marker? My Bible has it here. Written from Rome unto the Ephesians by Tychicus. You say, hold on a minute, I thought Paul wrote it. Well, of course, Paul was the author. But we do believe that most of Paul's writings, he did not actually take the quill and write the letters. He dictated them to Amensius, a secretary. And often at the final words, Paul would write it with his own handwriting, his own signature, if you like. In other words, it's believed that Tychicus was there as Paul's secretary. And Paul would say, all right, Tychicus, write this. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and blessed, and so on. So Tychicus would have been writing it. Somehow I imagine and picture Tychicus stopping and saying, Paul, what did you mean by that? What does it mean we're redeemed through his blood? Can you tell me more of what it means to be accepted in the beloved? What does it mean that we're chosen in him before the foundation of the earth? What does it mean that we're reckoned? Do you not think Tychicus and Paul would have discussed it? So here's Tychicus, and he's carrying the letter to Ephesus, and it's read out on the Lord's Day services, just as we've read through this book. Do you not think that Tychicus would have preached to them and said, you see what Paul means there? What he says, this is what it means. And Tychicus would have explained about the Lord Jesus Christ, about his wonderful redemption, about his wonderful person, about all the blessings that we have in Christ. You see, comfort comes from God. But God uses his saints to bring that comfort. His people sharing Scripture. And as you share Scripture, you lift up the Savior. Because ultimately all comfort comes from Christ and him crucified, risen, living, and coming again. Comfort comes from the gospel. Comes from the gospel. Oh, what a man Tychicus was. What a man. Do you know what his name means? I know I've taken this maybe a prayer meeting sometime, mentioning his name along with others. That name, Tychicus, means fortunate or fortuitous. Fortuitous. You know, we talk about, and I do not use the word luck when we talk about spiritual things, but I know some people get called lucky, don't they? Lucky. Remember the ad somebody told me years ago, can't help coming into my mind, years ago there was a dog missing, one ear missing, one leg missing, tail cut off, answers to the name Lucky. But anyway, fortuitous is the name, that's what it means. Paul was fortunate to have such a comrade in arms as this man. He lived up to his name. And I just want to say sincerely this morning that my wife and I, and myself as minister, it's been very fortuitous for us these 11 years to be encouraged by the faithful labours of men and women in this congregation. And you've been beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord, and dependable deacons, good servants of Christ, and comforters in the Lord. Isn't it amazing when you read Scripture that so many prominent men and women, there were those who served with them, those who served with them. And in any congregation such as our church here, yes, there are those who are more prominent. And of course, how could you be any more prominent than standing here, everybody looking at you? But thank God for men like Joseph Passmore, men like Tychicus, more useful than prominent, whose influence is more felt than seen. Those who pray, those who helped in the children's work, the youth work, the various activities of the church, sweeping up the hall in the church, tidying things, keeping things clean, teaching in the classes, playing the organ, or the electric piano, I think it is, in the room. So many tasks. I look down and I see Mrs. Livingstone, and for so many years would bring the flowers. Maybe a lot of you didn't know that those years. That every week when we had arrived, Mrs. Livingstone would be here putting out the flowers. Others, I can't start naming lots of names, but like Tychicus, not so well known, not so prominent as Paul would be, but faithful, faithful. God never overlooks any ministry that's done for him, and we're on the winning side. But as I close, if you're not saved, we can't offer you comfort. Except, of course, to look to Christ. That's the only message we can give you. Turn to Christ while you've time. Or else you'll be lost in a place where there is no comfort. May God make us faithful soldiers of Jesus Christ.